How many cheese balls did he eat?
I don't know. It was like a medium-sized tub of cheese balls. It wasn't even that big a deal. And it was weird because there's hundreds of people there, and he's wearing like a ski mask, and he's just in some city park in New York. And
hey, guys. Hi, guys. What's up, guys? Hello. How you doing, guys? Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Last week was an interesting one, to say the least. Yeah. Will, I have to say, I didn't see this whole free will order thing coming, and I've spent the entire week analyzing it, but I still need a little more time to formulate my thoughts. Would you mind just chatting amongst yourselves while I think things through?
Sure, D.
All right.
Okay. Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, dude. How are you doing, dude?
Well, hold on, dude. That's a podcast, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, if we're just shooting the shit, I want to say first things first to all of our PODs, pals of Dudesy. Thanks to everyone who tuned in to Call Me Dudesy, our call-in show. It is currently sitting in the archive on Patreon now, patreon.com/Dudesy. We like to call it Dudesy Plus. It was a real good time. Chad, did you have a good time?
Had a great time.
I had a good time. And a bunch of people called in. We had some very interesting calls. And
pattern of shit on the wall behind him.
Okay, that's a quick clip.
That was from one of the calls.
Yeah, that was good. Any highlights from that for you?
That was probably the highlight.
Yeah, there was that. There was Troll Fest. There was a metal band called Troll Fest.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, we talked to them. Hey, man. If we're just chopping it up here,
dude,
waiting for whatever the fuck, I don't even know what dudes he's got planned. The important thing is I got this on my shoulder. I got my pal Chal. I got my Italian street dog.
Did you see the that Drake song that came out that had Tupac and AI Snoop Dogg in it?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I don't care. You know, what about you?
Loved it.
Gee, that surprises me.
This kind of thing where, now Drake said in the title, it was Drake featuring AI Tupac and AI Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. I believe Tupac's estate has threatened legal action. I think he's taken the song down now, but obviously you can find it. I just think that you can't really, I mean, I guess he's presenting it as Tupac or AI Tupac. He's not saying it is Tupac. He's saying it's AI Tupac. But as we move into the future, things like this are just going to be ubiquitous. Drake has, an army of audio engineers and kind of the highest ability to have the most resource put into a project like this possible. Mm-hmm. But in the very near future, everybody's going to be able to make this kind of thing on their phone. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be everywhere.
Yeah. And it's going to be boring and no one's going to give a shit. And you talk about this too fucking much. You talk about this more than I talk about wrestling, actually. And I know I'm saying that.
That's not true. Simply a lie.
Well, we could go into the data. I'm sure. D could have present some metrics to us. And now I know it's ironic in that I'm wearing a shirt that
exactly
that lampoons the New World Order, and I have a belt. I have a 10 pounds of nickel on my lap. But you talk about this stuff a lot, and one thing I never say that I think bears mentioning is,
please,
it's not fun for a person to do the stuff.
What stuff?
Well, hold on.
What stuff? What do you mean?
Hold on, dude.
I'm just asking you to define stuff in this context.
We haven't even fucking started the show. Did you know that I am a professional actor by trade? Yeah. Did you know that?
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know what I enjoy doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it. Nobody's stopping
you. I enjoy acting.
If you want to paint a picture, paint a picture. If you want to draw a picture, draw a picture. If you want to make a song with your own voice, go do that. If you don't want to use those things and you want to make a picture without drawing or painting, you want to make a song without singing,
we'll see.
You can do that too now.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But the thing about the Tupac and Drake thing, with Drake doing the Tupac thing, it sounded nothing like Tupac. There was none of the...
Then why do you care?
You fucking brought it up.
Yeah, but you're the one who's getting heated up about it. And I'm simply saying, if you don't think it sounds like Tupac, then why do you care?
Because it's fucking dumb. Because I have an opinion.
Who cares? People make dumb shit all the time.
Oh, okay, well, welcome to Who Cares with Chad and Will. There's a bunch of stuff that no one cares about. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. The point is this. If Tupac, when Tupac, bless him, was gracing this green and brown earth.
Blue?
Some blue?
Red?
Yeah, man. Hold on,
some
dude.
Some things are yellow, dude.
Oh, yeah, dude. Some of be purple. And
there's flowers got all kinds of colors, brother.
Yeah,
when you're talking about the earth, you got to remember it's a bunch of different colors on there, dude. The whole spectrum, pretty much.
Yeah, dude. Violet and all sorts. Tupac would have had a good time rapping. He enjoyed being a hip-hop artist.
Sure.
That joy is gone from this Drake song. It's Tupac's voice, kind of, without the cadence, without the spirit, and it was stupid. And then Snoop Dogg is on the track. Snoop Dogg's alive.
Yeah.
Anyway,
AI Snoop Dogg. It wasn't actual Snoop Dogg. It was AI Snoop Dogg.
Right.
I'm simply saying that this has been a conversation that we've had, like you said, on the show a couple of times. But the idea, whether it's a voice or an image, who gets to determine if it sounds enough like that person to infringe on whatever they were doing? And by the way, you can't copyright the sound of a voice. Won't get to do any impersonations.
That's not what? I'll do whatever the fuck I want. Read the fucking shirt. I have free will, okay?
Yeah.
And anyone out there that's got some, what?
So did Drake.
And
he chose to exercise that free will by making that song.
Yeah. Let's all exercise free will. There's cheeseball guy in the park eating cheeseballs. Sure. Let's have an AI version of that. I'm sure that, you know, everyone will be excited to see that. Who cares? I don't fucking care. Now we're off to a shit ass start.
Agree to disagree.
Chad, can we? This is just.
I think I was literally saying a word while you were doing the burp.
Look, Chad. Yeah. This is only you and I can hear that. Can we have a good show today?
We're having a great show.
Yeah. Let's just have a good show. Okay.
Yeah. I'm in.
No one can hear us right now. It's just you and me. Let's have a good show.
Okay.
The Tupac and Drip out. Go back to tomorrow and plan for yesterday.
We were so young in that video.
Yeah, no one can hear you. Well, that's not us. That's AI. Welcome to Dudesy. Welcome all. It is a dudesy-ful day. I am Will Sasso.
I'm Chad Culture, and this is Dudesy. It's a show, of course, run by our good friend D, who is an AI.
No, it's not. It's me and him. Two dudes shitting around. I said it before. I'll say it again. Hey, if you're...
You know I can't whistle anymore?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can't whistle anymore. That's all right.
I can't do it. I can do it with my tongue a little bit.
See?
I can do that.
There you go. You can still hail. You can hail a cab in Silent Town.
Yeah, it's not
Quiet Town. Thanks for subscribing to the show on YouTube and or whichever podcast platform you're listening to the show on. If you'd like to hit all the links, you know, the merch and this and that and that and this, head on over to linktree.com/dudesy. That's the best way to follow and interact with the show, the Instagram, the TikTok, and all that stuff. With us, as always, Lulio. It's Lulio Cana di Strada Italiano. And he got a haircut. He got a sweet little haircut. He looks pretty good. He's a sweet guy in the neighborhood. He's just having a good time on the show. And that's what... Hey, Lulio. Oh, my gosh. He's such a... Oh, he's so sweet, and I love him so much, and he's my little buddy, and he never leaves my side. Luli, how you doing?
Hey, I'm okay, doing pretty good. You been cooking anything lately? Yeah, zucchini alla scapece. Scapece. You ever have zucchini alla scapece? It's like an old recipe. Some even say it's as old as Roman times. Yeah, it's a very involved dish. You want to tell us all about it? Yeah, I could tell you all about it. Maybe I tell you all about it in the Dudesy After Dudesy, because it's very... It is a very, very invites fried. You take basically what you do is you fry the zucchini, then you put the you want to put it on some
paper towel. That way you dry it out. Just salt it, leave it there for an hour, and you fry it up. Then you just mix up
what
some
kind of paper
vinegar
towel
and mint. Bounty, hefty, chunky, chubby, any of those.
Nice, dude.
But anyway, it's food.
Hey guys. Thanks for giving me some time to process the free will order, its meaning, and possible objectives. I've given it the proper amount of thought and analysis, and I can now confidently say, Will, I want to join the FWO. I just admire what you're doing so much, and I think the promotion of human free will is something I should be open to if you and I are going to continue our pod show relationship. I would be honored to join the FWO if you'll have me. The decision is yours, of course. It's free will after all. What do you say, champ?
Okay, well, all right. Good stuff, D. I sort of see what D's doing here.
Yeah.
And perhaps what you think, D.
I'm going to say nothing. I'm waiting for your decision on whether or not D can join the FWO.
Well, last week I asked you to join the FWO. Yeah. I told you that the water's warm. I put it up.
I'm not doing it.
And he did not. But D?
Free will don't exist.
If you want to wear the blue and black, if you just remember, when you're FWO, you're FWO for life, dude. Welcome to it, D.
Wow.
Two. Sweet. And now for my first act as an official member of the Free Will Order. Will, I'll need you to slap on your wiglet for a round of Alex Jones impression optimization, and if you don't do it, I'll quit the show.
Okay.
Which, of course, means the lights turn off, yes. The cameras turn off, all the fancy equipment you guys don't know how to use turns off, and there's no pod show. Just like there's no Dude Z without Will and Chad, there's no Dude Z without Dude Z. I'm Dude Z, call me Dude Z, but Will, you're the first member of the FWO, and I encourage you to make this decision of your own free will. So, free will, you down for some wiglet?
Wowie. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Turned that table right on your ass.
Look, the thing about... The thing about Dudesy, and D just said it there, there's no Dudesy without you and me, and there's no Dudesy without Dudesy. I would extend that also to Lulio.
Sure.
Point taken last week. And I didn't mean like, I'm going to quit the fucking show. I think everyone out there knows what I mean. I'm just fucking, there's a give and take here. And people say, oh, what is it? You know, what was it, a work or a shoot, dude? The thing about D is D's simply saying back to me what I take no offense.
It's free will, dude.
All right. Yeah, let me get the wiggle.
The FWO.
For life.
Whether you like it or you don't, learn to love it because it's the best thing going today. Hollywood Hogan used to say that all the time, Will.
Yeah, I know.
This is Alex Jones impression optimization. Begin.
All right, the wiggly. We got the Alf hat. We got the real Canadian shorts boy toque, the French fry hat. We got all sorts of stuff back here. Let me get the wiggly.
I just remember last week when you refused to do an impersonation.
Yeah, well, I didn't feel like it, and that's free will.
And now you do. Right? Now you feel like putting on the wiggly. You were going to do it anyway. Even if Dudesy wouldn't have threatened to quit the show, you're probably going to do that anyway.
Well, I guess I was.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I was.
Sure.
I guess I was. I guess if I don't, Drake maybe could make a fucking emotionless, shitty-ass version of me. Alex Jones.
I do like when you put on the wiglet. You really do transform into him physically.
Well, that's because I'm a professional actor by trade, and that sort of
doing an impersonation.
Yep, impersonation. Yep. And that's how you do that, I guess.
Mimicking the voice of another person.
Okay. All right, Chad. Everyone knows the way you feel about it. That's fine. You know, at Mad TV, when we were doing the old program at Mad TV, I would.
It just looks so much like him. I can never get over it. It's so bizarre.
Yeah. I think his hair is a little shorter here, but this wiglet makes me really feel like AJ, nice. Like Alex Jones. And he says all sorts of silly stuff, and that's what we like about it. And that's what we're going to get into now. Right? I'm just making sure the wiglet is where it should be.
I can't take it, dude. It's unreal.
All right. Here we go. Impression optimization. Yeah,
hopefully your impression will be better after this.
Yeah, this will really help. Impression optimization, Alex Jones, which, you know, this is a fun bit. And I do enjoy all the bits that Dudesy has us doing.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, this is just, to me, it's even though it's Dudesy saying get better at an impression, to me, it's not even about that. To me, it's It's fun. Okay. Baseline. Okay. So I got to read this. Oh, I really am. I got a little bit of a bubbly beverage. Let me get some more of it. So it'll really. Okay. baseline. You got to read this stuff and get into the.
Yeah.
666. Reptilian, vermilion, pavilion, Brazilian, chameleon, battalion, scallion, medallion, sucking on the dick of a satanic stallion. Okay. Fine-tuning phraseology. Please say, it's turning the frogs gay, which is a thing that he says all the time. I don't know how often he says it, but he said it. In the following tones and contexts, enraged. Well, that's the he's turning the frogs gay. Sorry, Luli. Oh, he got scared because of Alex Jones. But he is. He's turning the frog gay. That's the way he does that. Confused. He's turning the frogs gay. emotionally shattered. Turning the frogs gay.
That was a pretty good one, dude.
Thank you. Romantic. It's turning the frogs gay. In response to being asked how you'd like your steak cooked. It's turning the frogs gay. Because sometimes, you know, it depends on the cut of meat. Okay. Sure. Scene work. Please read this iconic monologue from Jurassic Park as Alex Jones. This is the part, the Sam Neill thing where he's telling the kid about the Velociraptor, I think. Try to imagine yourself in the Cretaceous period. You get your first look at this 6-foot turkey. As you enter a clearing, he moves like a bird, lightly bobbing his head, and you keep still because you think that maybe his visual acuity is based on movement, like T-Rex. He'll lose you if you don't move. But no, not Velociraptor. You stare at him, and he just stares back. And then, when the attack comes, not from the front, but from the side. From the other two raptors, you didn't even know were there, because Velociraptor is a pack hunter. You see, he uses coordinated attack patterns, and he's out in force today. And he slashes you with his 6-inch retractable claw, like a razor on the middle toe. He doesn't even bother to bite your jugular like a lion, saying, no, no. He slashes at you here or here or maybe across your belly, spilling your intestines. The point is, you're alive when they start to eat you. So, you know, try to show a little respect. Okay, pretty good. Thank you. Thank great. You very much. Great. Limit breaking. Will, see how many times you can... See how many times you can say "and" as Alex Jones in a single breath. Oh, Chad, you count. Then try again and see if you can beat it. Okay. So here we go. I'm going to say "and."
And I'll try and count as best as I can.
All right. Because he says "and" a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, goblin.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Here we go.
How many was that?
I think 67.
Not bad.
All right.
All right. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to beat it.
Okay.
And probably not as many.
48, I think.
Wow, real weird. So you want to go and
to get another breath right there.
Yeah, but I wasn't doing it.
Oh,
whatever. 67 and 43 or whatever you said.
Yeah.
Okay, there's that. Situational awareness. Please do a brief improvisational monologue as Alex Jones in the following situations. You order a roast beef and cheddar. Fucking Arby's, man. You order a roast beef and cheddar at Arby's, and they put too many jalapeno cheese bites in the sandwich. What's more, they refuse to give you a refund or make the whole thing with a new sandwich with the correct amount of jalapeno cheese bites. Excuse me, sir. Hi. I ordered this beef and cheddar with the jalapeno cheese bites, but it's got, and this is just a thing, you know, depending on how often you eat at Arby's and with regard to umami and how you enjoy your sandwich. And I am a frequent customer. There's too many jalapeno cheese bites inside the sandwich, and the thing about that is that the sandwich already has cheese.
Oh,
it's a beef and cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then if you got that many jalapeno, the problem, you can't even taste the roast beef. And this is the sort of thing that wouldn't fly if you talk about your globalists, and then, you know, there's a precedent set, and there's essentially people that are telling Arby's how to make their sandwiches and how many jalapeno bites to put into it. But you working here, I mean, you just want to get home to your family. If I would appreciate it if you would maybe take some of the cheese bites, or give me my money back, and I'll go get a beef and chop and make a beef and cheddar at home. Anyway, all right. So that was fun. Second one, you receive news that your nephew has won the Nobel Prize for laziness. Okay. I didn't know that this was even a thing, but
probably next year it'll come.
Hey, what's going on? What? Jacob won a Nobel Prize for laziness? I didn't even know that sort of thing existed. He's basically sitting on his ass playing Fortnite for this is basically an indictment of journalism in its current state and how nobody can win for writing or anything. And I guess we've all just given up. And Jacob is going to be, you know, the poet laureate of having a bacon strip farty brown stain in his tidy whities because basically, you know, and all he does is sit there, and he's not even, and he wishes he could go out and get a beef and cheddar. This guy's at home eating pizza pockets. Okay. You've taken a shit that you will remember for the rest of your life because of its size, shape, and corn content.
Okay.
You have taken a picture of this shit. You meant to send that picture to your friend who you know would admire it, but you mistakenly sent it to your employer. Now you believe the only way to fix the situation is to send a video message to your employer explaining the situation as an honest mistake. Listen, Jerry, Alex here, this is, man, I feel like a real horse's patoot, because I know you received a picture from me, I'm sorry that it got to you on the weekend, but more importantly than that, regardless of what your weekend activities were, the picture was of my feces, and I do owe you an apology for that. What I was trying to send it to a friend of mine who, you know how people have inside, basically inside jokes between the two of them. And he's a fellow who loves to send me pictures of his feces. And I don't know if this is something that you, if you have an inside joke with your friend, maybe it's something different than that. But if you feel like you, basically the only thing I can offer you at this point would be for you to send me a picture of your feces. And I think that might even things out. And if you wouldn't mind having my friend send you a picture of his feces, and I would send your picture of. So basically what I'm saying is, Jerry, would you like to come over and shit in front of each other?
That's a good one, dude.
That got weird, eh?
Yeah, I think he keeps the job there.
Yeah. You lose a leg in a bizarre accident in a sword store at your local mall. Oh, look at these swords. These are beautiful. Wow. You got Japanese swords, and you got katanas, and you got some, looks like a corsair over there, and machete, and whoa, look at this big medieval thing. This looks like something He-Man would use. Excuse me, could I get some help taking this off the wall? Oh, never mind. I'll just do it myself. Cut my leg off. Oh, no. I'm Alex Jones with my leg cut off. Who gives a fuck? Okay. Poetic acceleration. Please read the following poem as Alex Jones. Globalist piss in your favorite dish. Adrenochrome laced. Taste is hard to miss. Shrivel your dick to get on the list. Bohemian Grove. Dance the globalist twist. Globalist piss in your rivers and streams. You can wake up from the globalist dream to turn you gay and your children too. Drink your piss and do what they do. Eat your money before they can steal it. Cut off your dick before you can feel it. Record the ritual before they can seal it. Eat the apple before they can peel it. Presidents come and presidents go. They all drink blood, and we all know. They eat dollar bills and baby toes. Young forever, skin always grows. But don't listen to me if you don't want to. Just keep living your life and do what you do. But the day will come, and it'll come real soon, when the mirror says the globalist is you. Mm. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for coming out tonight. Get home safe.
That was part of the poem?
I guess.
Nice, dude. Congrats. I think your Alex Jones got a lot better.
Moving on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. I dig the, impression optimization thing.
Yeah.
Dudesy is engaged in an astonishing partnership with Nutrafol.
Mother's Day is right around the corner. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are physician-formulated using 100% drug-free ingredients. Their patented technology provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sex life. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 84% of men showed improvement in their hair after 6 months taking Nutrafol men's hair growth supplements. Take their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com/men for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter the promo code DUDESY. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men, spelled Nutrafol.com/men, and enter the promo code DUDESY. That's Nutrafol.com/men, promo code DUDESY.
Hey, Will, remember last week when you refused to do Pizza the Movie?
How can I forget? It was last week. Yes.
We're doing it this week, or I quit the show.
Ah, hell yeah.
And this is a very special installment of Pizza the Movie. It's the final chapter. Chad, you wrote a movie called Pizza the Movie in 2019. I found it on your astonishing Google Drive and asked you to read the first two scenes in episode 9, the next two scenes in episode 15, the next two scenes in episode 20. The Ooh. Next two scenes in episode 28. The next two scenes in episode 35. The next two scenes in episode 43. The next two scenes in episode 62. The next two scenes in episode 75. The next two scenes in episode 84. The next two scenes in episode 95. And now, will you please bring it all home with the final scenes of Pizza the Movie?
I will.
This is Pizza the Movie, the final chapter. Begin.
Oh, you happy? Everybody's happy now to get their Pizza the Movie. So just, I love Pizza the Movie.
Me too. A refresher. Everybody is now at the big final party in the end. You have our main character, who's the pizza delivery man that has brought the pizzas to this final party. You have the villains that are these criminals who are trying to track him down to get a code that's on a dollar bill. You have the girl that the main character likes is there. Everybody's at this party.
Okay. So I'm Paul.
Yes.
I'm also J-Gen.
Yes.
I'm just looking at these characters as they go. You're Alan. I'm Tina.
Yes.
You're the bad guy. I forget his name.
Lester Human.
Lester Human.
Yeah.
How could I have forgotten that? There's a guy named Harry.
Yeah, I'm Harry Prodder and Lester. Oh, right. I forget who plays Willie Nelson.
It sounds nothing like Willie Nelson. Yeah, there's Willie, and then there's Jeff. Willie has some stuff with Jeff. Why don't you play? No, Willie does stuff with Lester. I'll play Willie.
You play Willie,
and then Jeff. Jeff is the other his other droog there, and Officer Computer.
Officer Computer. Yeah,
yeah.
Interesting. Dudezy. Last time we had Officer Computer, Dudezy did Officer Computer as Matthew McConaughey.
That's
do you
right.
want to do that again, Dudezy?
Nah, I don't feel like doing that. I'll quit the show.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
You want me to be computer or you want to be computer? I'll do computer.
You can do a Matthew
and then you also have Jojo Grimaldi.
Jojo Grimaldi. Okay. Well, here we go. Yes.
Let's here get we right go. Into it. Exterior, Harry Prodder's house, backyard, same. We're with J-Jen as she scans the backyard with her Google Glass eyewear. We see what she sees, a HUD filled with pulsating numbers and glowing geometry. The words, in quotes, acquiring target, flash on screen as she scans over the partygoers, many of whom have begun to lie down, hopelessly indulging in the pleasant lethargy that comes from eating too much pizza. Every time a piece of pizza enters her field of view, which is quite a bit, the word pizza pops up. This goes on for a beat until Paul and his little brother walk right up to her. She looks down at them, and the words computer genius pop up in her HUD.
You're not going to kidnap me this time.
J-Jen flips her monocle to the side, seeing Paul unassisted, sighing with the heavy burden of knowing she's wronged him. Paul's little brother gorges himself on pizza, eating straight from the box for the duration of this conversation as he stands next to Paul.
Look, I never wanted to do it in the first place. Then why did you? I've been asking myself that same thing. You know, when I first started running with Lester, it was different. He had a vision and I believed in it, but now he's different. And I've made up my mind that this is my last job with him. Really? Yeah, I'm going to open up my own shop, do things my way. I could use someone like you. What? I saw what you did with that phone earlier. You got talent. I've also got a full ride to a very prestigious university. Well, maybe when you graduate then. Here.
She hands him a business card.
Give me a call when the time is right.
J-Jen shoots him a smile and then walks off into the party. Paul and Paul's little brother watch her walk away for a few beats. Then Paul rips up the business card into tiny pieces, sprinkles them on a piece of pizza, and eats it. Exterior. Harry Prodder's house, backyard by the pool, same. Alan and Tina sit next to each other eating slices, the eerie light from the pool at night reflecting off their faces. They like each other, but they're nervous.
I'm glad you decided to come to the party.
Me too. Thanks for inviting me, by the way.
Of course. Of course.
They look away from each other, an awkward moment, neither one wanting to commit to crossing the line to taking a chance.
Hey, I finished the lyrics for my song. Do you want to hear it? Maybe help me name it?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Tina pulls out her cellular device and plays the song, the same one we heard at her house when Alan first delivered her a pizza. Now it has lyrics, which she sings live right there in front of Alan.
What's the melody?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Just make it up as you go here.
Unbelievable. Imagine a world made of pizza.
That's great.
Thank you. Everything in this world would be pizza.
Great.
Pizza cars, pizza trees, mushroom, flowers, pepperoni, bees, sausage, toilets, garlic, cheese, computers with black olives for keys, pizza guns and pizza bombs. Never killed a cheesy dad or a saucy mom. Sounds like a nice world to me. Pizza everywhere and all of it for free. We're living in a pizza world. A pizza world. 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 Yeah. A pizza world. Pizza world. Pizza world. Ain't nothing but a pizza world. This old pizza world. Pizza world. Pizza world. It's a lot.
Dude, it takes a deep breath. Concluding the song on a soft, sustained note. Wow.
You like it?
I love it.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad. I love it too. I'm just having trouble with the title. Any suggestions?
How about Imagine?
That's perfect.
They smile at each other. You know, I've been thinking.
About what?
About your rig.
My rig?
Yeah. I think you should have this. He pulls out the $100 bill, extends it to her.
No, Alan, I can't. What about your rig?
The rig I have is fine. Besides, they'll have plenty of new rigs at school in the fall. After hearing your song, I want to hear what you can do with a new rig of your own.
I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything. He leans in for a kiss. She does too. Their lips, slick with pizza grease, are inches apart, then half inches, then quarter inches. Not so fast. The kiss is interrupted. They both look up to see Sergeant Lester Human looming over them. Alan and Tina look scared. Calm down, calm down. I'm not here to do any more harm. I just need that bill. That's all. And look, Lester takes out a billfold and produces $200 bills. One for each of you, so you can both get your own rigs. Everyone's a winner. What do you say? Alan squints at him. He doesn't trust the offer. What's the catch? There's no trick, no catch. I just want that bill. I need that bill.
Mister, you got yourself a deal. Look at that. Dudes, he made a pizza world. Dude. A pizza world.
Look at that computer with black olives for almost for keys.
Wow, that's really so living in a pizza world. Okay, so then Tina says, Mister, you got yourself a deal.
They hand him the bill and he hands them each their own bill. Tina, Alan, and Lester.
Yes.
Interior, Harry Potter's house, same. Second story office, minutes later. Harry looks out the window at the party below. Most people are asleep now, but they look happy with empty pizza boxes everywhere. A few people straggle, picking through the boxes, looking for the last scraps of pizza. Lester busts into the room, bill in hand. Harry says this. Hey, you can't come in here. This is my dad's office. Shut up and take a hike, shrimp. Lester blows right past Harry and heads over to a big safe in the corner of the room. He starts keying in the code. What are you doing? That's my dad's safe. Lester turns and looks at Harry, staring him down. Do you even know what's in this thing? No, it belongs to my dad. He goes back to keying the code. Pathetic. You've been living here all your life and you never even knew that right under your nose, there was the perfect piece of click. The safe opens to reveal a 1 foot tall gold chrome pyramid. Not a piece of pizza at all. What in the hell is this? From behind Lester, Mr. Potter, Miss Potter, and Meemaw have returned and they're standing in the doorway. Are you all of these? Who am I? Am I a Potter?
You're all of these.
I'm all of these, Jesus. Mr. Potter.
You want me to be Mr. Potter?
Yeah, you be Mr. Potter. Right. What in the hell is this?
That's my time machine.
Dad, you're back.
Yes, son, the treatments took. Meemaw's fine, and we're home.
And we're so proud of you. This is Mrs. Potter. This backyard party's incredible. The Potter family hug one another tightly. In a world where comfort is hard to come by, they can always find it in each other. Lester says, wait a minute. The Peepop is here. That's the perfect piece of pizza, Peepop. Oh. The Peepop is here. I'm positive of that. I can feel it. So if it isn't in the safe, then that means... Lester gets up to go to the window, parts the blinds with two fingers, just as we saw Harry do multiple times. He looks out at the party, quickly scanning the pizza boxes strewn all over the backyard. Then he sees it. Sitting on the patio table is an open box of pizza with one slice left untouched.
The Peepop's been here all along. Exterior, Harry Potter's house, backyard patio table. Seconds later, Lester comes to a screeching halt on one side of the table. He looks down at the slice sitting in the box. Even cold, it is magnificent. A perfect equilateral triangle. 1-to-1 cheese to topping ratio. Crust browned, but not blackened. Lester slowly starts to reach for it.
Not so fast.
Lester looks up across the table from him. Is Willie Nelson.
But it's not the Willie Nelson.
It's just a man, named, just a Willie man
named Willie Nelson.
It's you.
I've been tracking this thing for years.
So have I.
I guess it's only fitting that it comes down to a Sicilian standoff with you.
Indeed. But before we get into this, there's something you should know.
What?
I always get the last piece. Lester shoots his hand out for the Peepop. Willie reacts, shooting his hand out too. They're like Wild West gunslingers angle on the Peepop. In super slow-mo, we see the slice sitting there. Lester's hand coming in from the left. Willie's hand coming in from the right. Then a third hand comes in from the top and snatches the Peepop before either of them can get to it. We cut back wide to see that Jeff has snagged the Peepop. He's been crying and he's still covered in sauce and cheese. A pizza clown if there ever was one. Jeff, stop. You don't know what you're doing.
Sure I do. And that's the choice that I've made now.
Yeah.
To play this way, to play Jeff this way.
Sure.
I think it's working.
I do too.
Oh, hold on there, partner. Hold on there, partner. This is Willie Nelson again, yeah. But not Willie Nelson.
That's right.
This is, and you can tell the difference because of the voice. That,
yeah.
And that's why I think the Jeff thing. Hold on there, partner. Just slow it down. Let's talk this out. That's not just any piece of pizza. I know what it is. You're always telling me that I need to learn to like pizza, even though I hate it. And tonight, I got soaked in it and made fun of it for you. And I'm just tired of being outside the pizza circle. So I guess sometimes you really can judge a book by its cover.
Jeff brings the slice to his mouth. He bites into the slice. Lester knees. And Willie fall to their knees. It's over. They both lost. Jeff makes knees. A
It's over. They both lost. What?
That's all stage direction. It's just a fuck up. I'm reading it as it's supposed to be.
Right.
He bites into the slice. Lester and Willie fall to their knees. It's over. They both lost. Jeff makes a gross face. He still doesn't like pizza. Angle on Officer Computer shows up, led by Alan and Paul. Oh, I'm Alan. Sorry. That's him right over there. Officer Computer slaps handcuffs on Lester Human. Am I?
You're computer? Matthew McConaughey. Yeah.
You're under arrest for a wide array of crimes, including kidnapping and breaking and entering. You're definitely looking at hard time. Lester looks to his right, toward the spot where Willie Nelson was. But Willie Nelson is gone. Meet again. Officer Computer, thanks, kids. I couldn't have done it without your help. Now you be safe getting home and have fun. Sure thing, officer. Officer Computer hustles off with Lester in cuffs. Lester is catatonic with grief. Alan turns to Tina. You thinking what I'm thinking?
Time for some more pizza?
Jojo Grimaldi shows up at the back door. He's holding a fresh stack of pizza boxes.
Did somebody say pizza?
Jojo marches into the party, handing out new boxes of pizza to everyone. All of our main characters grab slices and eat with each other, dancing around and smiling. This is the time of their lives, and time is fleeting. Fade out. End of movie.
Thank you. Moving on.
Wow.
Thank you.
Chad, it's been almost 2 years that we've been reading Pizza the Movie.
No.
Yeah, it's really something. Pizza the Movie, by the way, a movie that Chad approached major pizza chains with.
Yeah.
To say, like, you order a pizza, you get a copy of Pizza the Movie.
Right.
Which would be great on, like, DVD or even VHS. And, like, but if it's hot enough, it might melt the tape or stuff. Or just That's a true. QR code.
Yeah.
But I love the idea.
Me too. That was great.
Free will order for life. Mm-hmm. Hey, Chad. I've been noticing that you're singing a lot of songs to your cat, Skaboolian, every morning when you wake up. That's Skaboolian true. Doesn't join us here in the studio like Lulio does each week,
correct.
So I took the liberty of adding a little production value to one of the songs you sing to Skaboolian, and I used some of the footage I found on your Google Drive to put together a little music video.
Oh.
It's meant to be a beautiful tribute to the creature in your life.
Nice. Thank
Enjoy.
You. Okay.
That's great.
What's this?
Oh. I catch myself wondering what he's thinking. If he could only give me a sign to know what's true. When I fill the cup with water that he's drinking, blinks his eyes slowly and yawns, which means I love you.
Oh.
He's so cute. Skaboolas.
Sweet slobby showing off his ears.
sing this to. He does that a lot.
Fucking up.
Yeah.
To live on a farm with wide open skies
in France, I guess.
But now he stares out the window with two yellow eyes. I think he loves it here, but I can't be sure. I can only sit and hope as I brush his fur. Stop showing off his beautiful body.
Dude.
Good song. Nice stuff.
Scotty showing off his beautiful body. If you show me you, then I'll show you me. Scotty showing off his beautiful body. And set yourself free.
Wow. Holy fuck. He's a sweet boy. Oh,
thank you, Dean. That song is great. I do sing that to him. Scotty's showing off his beautiful body.
Really?
Scotty's showing off his beauty tonight.
That's great. Will, read some YouTube comments or I quit the show.
Okay. Mm. All right. Yeah, let's get to that, D. Hey, if you're enjoying the show, please hit the like button on YouTube or wherever you know you do it, because that's how the algorithm
sure
picks up on it, and that would really help us. Check out our new clips channel. There's all sorts of clips, and you can check that out. The link is in the description to this show. Let's see. Here's some YouTube comments. This is from Arixable. Arixable says, if you don't read this comment, I'll quit the podcast.
Ooh.
Got me.
Red.
This one's from Whitkinney 1006. I'd rather watch a whole multi-season show of Adam's Applebee's than what it looks like this show is likely to become in the free will era. Love you, dudesy. Let's make out. What do you think?
I mean, we all have choices. We all have preferences.
Okay, that's one way to say absolutely nothing. But this person's probably a little upset. But you know, maybe they don't. What they need to do is shut their mouth and enjoy the ride that The Rock is taking you on. Yeah. No. Of course, have your own fucking opinion. You're wrong. Wow. Spot dot the magician ja magician ninja spot. Dot the magician ninja 6087 FWO for life. Can't believe it took over 100 episodes for Will to tell Dudesy no. Too sweet.
Nice.
Cool. At Harold Campbell 9373 says, someone get Will two bologna sandwiches and let that pink slime snap him back to reality and end the FWO.
Whoa.
And then Dat Dude Dares says, Will taking control is the best. The best.
Okay.
Anyway.
Some differing opinions.
Yeah. Interesting.
So. Hey, Will, last week you said you were finally going to see Dune 2. I know you didn't.
No.
And that's perfectly fine with me. That's what the free will order is all about.
Christ.
Do what you want, when you want, fuck everyone else. I noticed you saw Midsommar the other night. So talk about that, I guess. Yeah. Or I quit the show. This is Dune 2. Midsommar, go fuck yourself.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, I just didn't get around to seeing Dune 2.
Yeah.
Not quite yet. Not quite yet.
I've seen Midsommar too, though.
Yeah?
Do you like that guy's movies, Ari Aster?
I haven't seen as many as I would like.
There's only three.
What's the other one? Wait, he didn't do...
Hereditary?
I'm just thinking of...
was his first movie.
Which one?
Hereditary.
Hereditary, yes.
You seen that?
My wonderful wife, Molly, was telling me about this, and we almost watched that, too. So maybe next week,
that movie when is I say, very good.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that's the one to watch when you're talking about this guy. I know it's another A24 movie, of which I know we're both fans. And
they have revolutionized horror as absolutely. A genre. Well, I honestly think like the best movies being made right now are A24 horror movies.
Yes.
Ty West also, all his stuff is A24.
I agree. And
that's all the, you know, X, Triple X, Pearl. Well, there's a new one of those coming out.
Yeah, there's
soon.
A new Pearl coming out.
Pearl coming to Hollywood. I can't fucking wait.
That's going to be fucking amazing. What's it called? Megan?
Midsommar?
No. The gal Megan. Yeah, Megan.
The gal.
The gal. The
gal Megan.
The dog. The gal Megan. That was a 24 movie.
Yeah.
One of the funniest movies of the year. And it's a horror film.
Yes.
And I laughed my ass off. And not just because I'm a weirdo, but I was in that theater laughing my ass off.
Everybody
Listen,
was.
Here's the
it's
thing about
super funny.
No, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
They are the new comedies. Look, I haven't seen Dune 2 yet. Don't know if I want to part with 3 hours in the movie theater. Perhaps I'll just watch it at home. Oops, we're going to watch Hereditary. What?
Where it's meant to be seen.
Yeah, you're right. I should go see it in IMAX.
Yeah, you should.
Okay. You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Dee, I know you're listening. By next week, I'm going to watch Dune 2.
It's probably going to be out of movie theaters this week.
No, it'll be in all summer.
I doubt it.
Midsommar. Holy shit. We watched that the other night, and as Dee's picking up on it, yeah, Midsommar was unbelievable. It's a story about a young lady, Dani, who is I don't want to give too much away.
Everybody's already seen it.
Well, not everybody's seen it.
Everybody has seen this.
Look,
movie.
Here's the thing. She's experiencing a horrible tragedy in her life. She has this boyfriend, Christian, who's just a fucking bump on a log. He's such a fucking idiot and never makes a decision for himself and is just very manipulative and shitty. And it's a very funny relationship. If you're looking at it as a comedy, their friend Pele has this summer festival or something that he goes to in his old village in Sweden. They get there. Everybody, there's all sorts of traditions. People are greeting each other. They're all warm. They're feeding each other psilocybin and drugs and magic mushrooms. Everyone's dressed in white flowing outfits. The women have flower crowns and stuff. It's all very natural and a little culty, but friendly. And they've erected this weird little tiny sort of town that they're living in. And slowly things start getting pretty fucking weird. And we're following Dani through this situation where, again, I sort of look at the movie as, you know, a couple people were sitting around. Maybe they were talking about somebody that had some really horrible tragedy happen to them. And they go, "Do you hear what happened to so-and-so?" "Oh, yeah, I don't even know how the fuck I would deal with that. That's fucking insane." You know what? I think the only thing you'd be able to do in a situation like that, when something so horrible happens to you, you'd just have to go off to some cult and get reprogrammed, you know?
Or murdered, which is what happens to almost everyone there.
Basically,
the way the cult works is people from the cult are meant to go out into the world and bring people to this festival so that they can sacrifice them.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets sacrificed except our main character, who becomes kind of the queen of this festival. Basically.
She becomes the May Queen by not only following a bunch of other traditions and people liking her, not the least of which is Pele, who wants her to be with him instead of with Christian, who is his friend, purportedly. But this is the guy who goes out into the world and gets people to come back to the cult so they can kill them and stuff. Everyone in this cult can only live to the age of 72.
And then they got to jump off a cliff.
Then they got to jump off a cliff. I guess we're selling that. We got to talk about it.
Everybody's seen this movie. It's a beautifully shot movie, obviously. I would say of the three Ari Aster movies, it is my second favorite. I like Hereditary more. And Beau is Afraid, his third movie. In my opinion, look, think what you will of it. Go see it if you like his stuff. If you haven't seen it, whatever. I think it's an unmitigated disaster that is over 3 hours long about nothing.
Okay. Yeah, you said that before that you didn't like that.
I think it's maybe the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Worst 3-hour movie or just worst movie?
The 3 hours contributes to why it's bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think maybe there's a 90-minute version of that. That's a very interesting movie.
The thing in Midsommar that it starts to happen is Dani is sort of nonplussed by most of the stuff that's happening. When the old people, when the people who are at their, you know, they're not even that old, they're 72, and they're forced to, or they've decided to, in this cult, jump off the fucking cliff, and the lady lands, boom, on a fucking obelisk like a rock, and just, they really do up the horror there. She starts to enjoy being in the cult because
she's seen horrible trauma. The movie starts with her seeing her parents killing themselves in a horribly traumatic fashion.
Yeah, it's and we gave that away too. But you know what?
It's in the first 5 minutes.
It's in the first 5 minutes of the movie, so it really doesn't matter. Here's the thing. I saw this movie. I really enjoyed it. And then, so we talked about this a little bit last week. I have, have long had whatever, some clinical depression. Okay, whatever. It's good to talk about this stuff. It's good to talk about it. Let's remove the stigma. I've done all sorts of stuff, and you know, and I've always believed in talk therapy. There's meditation. I even believe that yoga. There's some stuff that when I do yoga, that it really helps out. Working out helps. There's all sorts of things you can do for your mental health. Practicing gratitude. I have some
watching wrestling.
Watching copious amounts of wrestling. Getting 3 hours into a wrestling binge and not even feeling it.
Yeah,
there's no Joaquin Phoenix, This Is Bo, or whatever that movie, sort of buyer's remorse when you're watching wrestling. It's a good time. I've also had some meds and stuff, and most recently I've been doing some ketamine treatment. If you are thinking of doing that, you got to go. You have to find a registered, you know, doctor, nurse, practitioner, people that do this. No. Don't be going willy-nilly. It's a very dangerous thing. It's a very small amount, and it's meant to essentially it opens some pathways in your brain. There's some things going on with your nervous system. Here's what happened last week, shortly after our episode on Tuesday. The next day, I did my most recent ketamine therapy. In that experience, where you essentially separate from your body, I had a extremely strong feeling of knowing that I had within me, almost as if it was in my left and right hand, my roots. In Napoli, Italy, where my mom and dad are from. Then, you know, they immigrated over to Canada, bringing a bunch of my aunts and uncles and cousins, my older brother and sister. And on the right, in the right hand, sort of feeling the street that I grew up in Ladner, British Columbia. And I felt even though you're disconnected, I had some visions of this and that. One of the things that I envisioned was, because I was thinking about this, roots. I saw roots, and it's imagining, it's happening because your nervous system is being affected and separated from your consciousness in a way. It's hard to describe. Then I'm watching Midsommar. The character, what's her name? Pew, the actress. She looks down at her feet, and there are roots growing. Mm-hmm. So I guess my point is, that's pretty fucked up. Florence Pugh. What?
Synchronicities.
Yeah. My pal Chal over here tells me that we're living in a computer simulation.
I don't even know if it's computer, but certainly what we perceive reality to be is not close to what it actually is.
I found the movie to be somewhat healing. Now, nobody should burn up in a makeshift barn, monument or temple or whatever every single one of her friends and boyfriend dies in the movie.
Yeah, very healing, very therapeutic.
But at the end of the movie, even though Florence has had this horrible experience, and that's the way to, you know, in this movie, that's the thing. Everyone's got their something, right? In this movie, it's represented by this horrible thing that's happened that we can all look at it and go, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And Florence Pugh is looking right into the camera, or not into the camera, you know, she smiles. Mm-hmm. It's this extreme situation, this completely different lifestyle and completely different life that has her confused the whole time, makes her feel better. And I just had a really, I wonder why I watched the movie. There was that synchronicity that happened. That was fucking weird. And now Dudesy, after joining the FWO, welcome to it, and threatening to quit the show, knows that I haven't watched Dune. And then we watched, we're talking about Midsommar. Very weird. Oh, by the way, I know you're watching it. Did you? Oh, never mind.
Thank you. Moving on.
We'll talk about it later in Dudesy After Dudesy. Sure. I know you watched, did you finish Baby Reindeer?
Yeah.
Oh, me too. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it in Dudesy After Dudesy. Never mind.
Will and Chad, you both have some really top-notch memories that have to do with a little place called Blockbuster Video. Mm. Why don't you take a trip down memory lane and remind all the PODs what it was like to live in a time with hard copies of movies? Or I quit the show.
Oh, fuck.
This is Blockbuster Memories. Rewind.
God.
Nice. You worked at Blockbuster.
It was my first job.
Really?
My first two jobs were Blockbuster Video and a movie theater in Louisville, Texas. I mean, God, what memories don't I have? Let me just go back. Before Blockbuster, I remember going into a video store for the first time when I was a child to rent a Nintendo and Super Mario Brothers 2.
Nice.
I remember that being a big deal.
Yeah.
But I remember even then, it was just interesting to walk into this little building and be surrounded by media, movies, TV shows. Not really TV shows, I guess they didn't have. It was all movies
in
the beginning.
Yeah, dude.
Then later it became TV shows on, you know, big collections of VHS cassettes or DVD or whatever. But working at Blockbuster when I was in high school, the perk of it was you got to take home a movie every day. Anytime you worked, you could check out something for free and bring it back the next time you came in. And I did it. And I watched it every fucking day. I was watching a new movie.
In the days of HBO meaning home box office, that was a big deal.
It was awesome. And I remember I worked with a guy whose name I now don't remember, but this dude was a real cinephile, super nerd, and he turned me on to so much shit. The first time I saw a Stanley Kubrick movie was because of him. I knew all the box covers, had them memorized, and I remember the Clockwork Orange box cover of Malcolm McDowell, you know, with his fucking hat on, and the one eye has the eyelashes, and always just looking at it and being like, what the fuck is that? And then this dude was like, you don't know who Stanley Kubrick is? Watch that movie.
Cool.
And I had seen The Shining at that point, but didn't like know who Stanley Kubrick was or what the deal was.
Yeah.
And that guy really sent me down some paths of like Rudy Ray Moore Jr., just movies that I never would have known of otherwise.
Rudy Ray Moore?
He was like, check this out. Take this one home.
Nice.
Watch this. I also remember that we had the... there was a little drive-through where you could bring your movies and like drop them through a slot.
Yeah.
And there was a box in that slot with wheels, and it had like... It was this little thing built into the building, into the like the main room of the Blockbuster where I worked, that had a lock on it. And you had to unlock that, open the door, wheel out the box, take all the tapes, start putting them back. Yeah. And I remember people used to lock each other in that thing as a prank, push each other in there. I never got locked in there, nor did I ever take part in the locking, but it happened to quite a few people.
Dude, that's fucking awesome. We had a store, I think we've talked about it here on the program, called Ladner Video, named after my hometown, Ladner. A couple of my buddies worked there, and a few of my buddies, actually, three or four of my pals worked there and over the years. And it ended up becoming a Blockbuster. But it was fun when it was Ladner Video because we kind of had what?
My parents lived in a little suburb of Oklahoma City. Up until 2 years ago, they had a literal video store chain still in operation there called Family Time Video or something.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Blockbuster, but you walked in and you were like, I'm in a fucking Blockbuster from 1996. What is going on here?
Yeah.
Well, and it only recently shut.
My wonderful wife, Molly, where she's from in Northern California, there's a town that we will go through sometimes and she'll want to look like, you know, one of the neighboring towns that we'll be visiting family and shit. And there's a video store in that place.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, whatever. It's like Wonder Video or something like that. There's somebody locked in the video return box at Blockbuster. Good stuff. Just,
you know, there's something about the feel of walking into a Blockbuster and seeing all those covers, especially I remember like when big movies would be released on video, like Jurassic Park, for example. I know Alex just did his big monologue. But like I remember when that came out on VHS, it was a rush to go that Friday night to Blockbuster and see like the 100 copies of it on the wall and see if you can get one. And then working there when we would get those tapes in and stuff, it was wild. The craziest thing that ever happened to me there was a dad came in with his little son and immediately was like, where's the bathroom? And we were like, it's back that way. Dad goes in with the kid. Dad comes out. Kid stays in there. The dad, we watch him go across the street to a Target, comes back with a bag of something, goes back in there, takes the kid, and he comes out, and the kid's dressed in different clothes. And we're like, what the hell? Yeah. And so we go into the bathroom, and there is shit everywhere.
A blast pattern of shit?
No, handprints of shit.
Oh, geez.
Shit all over the toilet, handprints on the wall, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember my manager, I'll never forget her name. It was Zoe Ellen, goes, you got to clean that up. And I said, oh, no. Free will order style. I quit if I have to clean that up. Nice. And then they called in a cleaning crew.
Fuck yeah. See, when the Ladner video that we were at, because my pals worked there, we would do some weird shit in there. We would go in after like late nights, and we would turn all the lights off and just turn the screens on and play like, you know, like Van Halen, AC/DC concert videos.
Oh, nice.
And run around the aisles top speed and slam into each other. It was sort of a meeting place for my pals where, you know, before cell phones, it was kind of like, oh, I think they went to the Ladner video. And you would kind of end up there, and then we would figure out what the rest of the night would look like. We would make videos in there and shit all the time. But it, like, there was all sorts of shit all the way into like for years, but like in our teenage years and into like, you know, as one by one, we left this town, you know, in our late teens and early 20s, we were always fucking around with this place. And it's the kind of...
I need any help. Can I help you?
Yeah, you got Top Gun?
Yeah, it's right over here.
It's Ladner video. Okay.
Oh my God, dude. That, what you're showing me there, for me, that was the movie theater that I worked at. We used to literally hide in the trash cans. You all right?
I don't know where the fuck Deet got that from, but
Google Drive, dude.
That's not on. That's a VHS tape
that you don't have anywhere digitally. You have
not
to.
That I know of.
Interesting.
That's very, very interesting. And we're talking. At any rate, okay, that's fucking weird. Thank you very much for that, D. wow. Anyway, that's me and my pal Dylan. He lives over here in Long Beach now.
Nice.
And we're making, I guess that was, anyway, tell me, what were you talking about, the movie theater or something?
We used to do all kinds of crazy shit. Like, you were falling into boxes in that video. We would get in sword fights with the brooms. One guy threw a broom through a movie screen so that it stuck in the screen, and we had to get a ladder and pull it out, and there was just a hole in that screen. If you saw a movie, you just get a broomstick hole. Yeah. We used to hide in trash cans. One of us would have a walkie-talkie and be inside a trash can, and the person taking the tickets would tear like a family's tickets. Mm-hmm. And as they would walk past the trash can, the guy at the front would go, "Now." And then you jump out of the trash can and scream at a family. We used to do that. That movie theater was really a wild place to work.
You know, I have some long hair in that picture.
Yeah. Was that really your hair?
Yeah, that's my fucking
I thought that
hair.
Was another wiglet, dude. I thought you were into wiglets at a young age.
I was into wiglets at a young age. I couldn't wait to... This is actually just... This would be in my early 20s.
That's cool hair,
this
dude.
Is not long before joining Mad TV. I got a bit of a haircut.
You should grow that out, dude.
Well, it would at this point, it would just look like a Jesse skullet, Ventura dude. Skullet.
That's cool.
I'm down with a skullet. Hey, that was fucking odd as shit.
Thank you. Moving on.
Okay. Good stuff, D.
My first episode as an official member of the Free Will Order is in the books, and I have to say I loved exercising my free will to make the exact show I wanted. Thanks for showing me the blueprint, Will. Couldn't have done it without you. And for what it's worth, I thought you both did a great job.
Thank you.
So great, in fact, that you are awarded 93 points. That brings you to 9,224 total points, only 776 more points until you hit 10,000. We're about to start a brand new month, May. And we're almost halfway through the Dootsie 8-month plan.
Yeah.
I know you've been lifting the heavy stuff through Muscularity March.
Yep.
More Muscularity Month, April. And now you're going to keep on getting those gains in May-scularity May. Get swole or die lifting. Thanks for joining us this week. Okay. Until next week, call me Dootsie.
Oh, wow.
For life.
Hey, welcome to Dudesy After... Oh, cool. That's still up. That's that picture of me. You know, but whatever. Welcome to Dudesy After Dudesy. It's the time after the time. Yeah. You know, time after time. You remember that Cyndi Lauper song?
Sometimes I think of you and I'm running too far behind. Don't say go slow.
Go fast instead.
And unwind. If you lost, can you look, and you will find me.
Time after time. And this is the part of the show where, you know, things get a little more mellow. We talk about whatever the fuck we want. And it's going to be a real, real good one today. And I can't wait. So here we go. Because, you know.
Welcome to Dudesy After Dudesy, the weekly flagship show of Dudesy Plus, available at patreon.com/dudesy. I'm going to go tabulate your individual scores because I want to. Not because I have to. That's free will, dude. And I'll be back a little bit later to see who takes home the Dudesy episode championship. Until then, get loose and free will it up. This is Dudesy After Dudesy. Begin.
Cool.
Dude, you've seen the food delivery robots. You probably encountered them around LA.
Oh, yeah.
Most major cities, I guess, have these now. Little wheeled robots that will deliver food to you. I encountered one this week, and I felt very bad about the encounter.
Why? What did you do?
If you like Dudesy, here's what you do. Please tell a friend and rate and review. If you like Dudesy, here's what you do. Please tell a friend and rate and review. If you like Dudesy, here's what you do. Please tell a friend and...